Okay. Let's see. Last week, we were talking about the ways that Jesus healed. And like I've said before, a lot of healing talk in the last few months. But what's happening is we're being washed by the word over and over again. So the water gets down into the roots and our roots get stronger and stronger. So think of it that way. When you think that you're just tired of this subject, just know that we're going to get bigger and better with this word as it comes to us. All right. So, the ways that Jesus healed, we need to remember that we don't have a faith problem. And in Romans 12, it told us that God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. That isn't a little bit for you, a lot for you. It's one size scoop. Everybody gets a measure of faith. Okay. When we accepted Jesus in our life, we got Jesus's faith in us. So think of it that way. Don't think of it as your own faith. Think of it as Jesus's faith. Remember, and if we remember about Peter walking on water, right? He had the faith to do it, right? He did walk on water, but he didn't stay on water because something came against his faith. Faith, well, let me just ask somebody besides Nate, how do we receive the promises of God that grace has provided? Okay, this sounded like so there were some question marks after the word faith. It should be faith exclamation point, not question mark. Okay, Hebrews 11, 1 and 2 gives us the definition of faith that Christy always recites us, but verse 2 says, but by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. So that by faith, the elders were able to hold on to the promises of God because of their faith, just like the question we keep asking over and over. Revelations 12:11 tells us we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That's what Jesus has done, and the word of our testimony, what we're willing to say about what Jesus has done. We've talked in the past about how important our words are. There's power in our words. There's not power in our thoughts. There's power in our words. Faith is the key ingredient in Jesus's healing ministry. It's always present somewhere. So every single story we'll ever read about Jesus and healing, there was faith involved. Okay. So, do you believe Matthew 9:28? This is still review. Don't turn there. But and when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be done. So he asked them, he nudged them forward, do you believe this? And they answered wholeheartedly, yes, we believe that you can do this. That's their faith right there. And he says, according to your faith, let it be to you. Faith and belief go hand in hand. Belief is the primary form of faith, just believing something is possible. So unsaved people can receive healing because you are the carrier of faith and they are open. They believe something is possible. They're not fully persuaded in their heart, but they're not resistant. Ask yourself, is God big enough on the inside of me? And in the inside of my heart, and in my experience of him in my reality. So I believe we all have that here. And finally, we're unable to receive what we're unable to believe. If you don't really think it can happen or it won't happen, then you don't have faith for it. And that's going to work against you from receiving it. So receive what you're believing. The centurion told Jesus he didn't need to come to heal the servant in person. Jesus told him, go your way. And as you have believed, how did he believe? He believed Jesus didn't need to be there. All he had to say it. So Jesus said, as you have believed, so let it be done for you. If you don't like what you're receiving, change what you're believing. Jesus doesn't decide what you believe, but he will say, as you believe, let it be to you, right? So that part's on you. Remember the woman with the issue of blood. She believed all I got to do is touch the hem of his garment. We'll talk about that in the next part in today's lesson. But that was her belief. All I got to do is do that, and he will heal me. So it was her belief that that's what she had to do. And Jesus, as you believe, you know, let it be to you. Remember that you have faith. You have the faith of Jesus on the inside of you. You are already an expert in the faith department. That's how you were saved. You know, it was through faith and grace that you were saved. You had the faith enough to ask Jesus into your heart and become your Lord and Savior. That's faith. So you have faith in you. Now Jesus is dwelling with you, and he brought his faith along with him. So we don't have a faith problem. We have an unbelief problem. We have the things that work against faith. We've had this whole study on Wednesday night about things that come against faith. So the next part of this review, I think this is the last part. Stop thinking sick. John 5, 6 through 9 said, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already had been in that condition a long time. So Jesus knew that guy had been sitting there for a long time. He said to him, do you want to be made well? Because he'd been sitting there for a long time. Jesus kind of nudged him forward. Do you even want to be healed? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Didn't answer, did he? Do you want to be made well? And he said, I'm a victim here. People keep cutting in front of me. I know if I can, you know, get there, then, you know, I that's what I'm doing for my healing, right? And it's a whole nother story. But Jesus was nudging him along to say, do you even want to be made well? And he says, I'm a victim here. So he's thinking sick. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. So for a moment there, that man had to think, I've been here a long time knowing if I could get in that water, I have a chance to be healed. Now this man is telling me to rise and do something different. So for a moment, he had to say, I haven't been able to rise my whole life. Am I going to rise or not? So he had to come to something. And it doesn't tell us how long that took, but you know that like, the guy had to be like, wait a minute, I've been here for 30 something years trying to get in that pool and everybody cuts in front of me. This man just tells me to rise. I don't think he just sprang out. I think he was in his thoughts about this. You know, he had to come to terms like, do I have faith in this man who just told me to stand up? And as we learn in the story, wait, I might be wrong. It says, and immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. So maybe it didn't take him that long at all. You know what I mean? But I assume that there's had to be some kind of mental conundrum for him. I've been looking at this pool for 30-something years to get my healing from. And now all of a sudden, this man is here in front of me saying, get up. And so he had to come to terms with that. And it sounds like it didn't take that long because immediately the man was made well. Proverbs 13:12 tells us, hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you've been waiting for something for a long time, your belief in God's promises can get squeezed by the pressure of the condition, just like the man by the pool, right? The man ended up with victim mentality there because he hadn't been healed. He never got in the pool. The minute you start believing God for something, you're going to have some adversaries coming against that belief. Could be symptoms, could be just more pressure from Satan putting thoughts in your friends and people you love to give you negative words, to go against your belief, all those kinds of things, right? Jesus asked, do you want to be healed? Because the man needed to give an answer. God doesn't ask questions to get information. He asks us to help us, to nudge us along, to make us think, like, where's my heart at? It's difficult to think beyond the natural when you're surrounded by people who are thinking sick. Are you ready for your life to be radically changed? See God as your true source above any human system that's been supporting you. The man standing in front of the guy on the mat was the source, not that pool. The guy had this thought that this pool was going to make him well because there was some kind of urban legend about it or something. Victim mindset made this man more connected to his physical reality than what Jesus was offering. And then Jesus meets this man again later in John 5:14 and warns him not to miss the mark again by going back to that way of thinking, or he'll end up back where he started. So you, once you've obtained it, remain in. And that's your way of thinking, right? You're no longer a victim. I'm not going back there anymore. I have the promises of Jesus with me. I don't need to start thinking anything other than I've had a connection with the source. Why would I ever change? Okay, that was our review. Okay, this is the continuation of the way Jesus healed. This is more ways Jesus healed. And we're going to name some of the ways he healed. This one is healing through relationship. Everybody turn to Mark 5. We're going to be in Mark a lot today. So, all right, Mark 5:25, the woman with the issue of blood. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. So she saw physicians, but she suffered because of their remedies. She had spent all she had and was no better. So she went broke trying to fix this condition. She'd spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." So first she heard about Jesus, then she decided to act on it. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging around you, Jesus, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" Come on. I mean, we're in a crowded street here. The disciples, they always say the dumb things, huh? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." What was her faith that made her well?
She said,
"If only I can just touch him." That's what she believed. And then she acted on the belief. Faith without actions is dead. It's not faith at all. Okay? All right, everybody make this declaration. I am a candidate to receive healing today. This woman had active faith that took her from sitting at home thinking she could be healed to actually reaching out and actually receiving her healing. All right? The actions that she put with her belief. See, Jesus, he was fairly passive in this healing. He didn't pray over her or reach out to her. She came in faith and placed a demand on what was inside of Jesus. Jesus was just walking down the street. It caught him by surprise. "Who touched me?" Like, I felt power leave. All right, so something happened here, and I know this feeling, and this feeling is the power of the Spirit coming through me through faith. So somebody's got it. What's going on? That's all. That was his only part in it. When we speak the word of God, anyone can receive from that word that we carry. See, priests had tassels on the hem of their garments representing authority. Touching the hem of Jesus's garments show that the woman recognized his authority. So we don't wear garments with tassels coming off or whatever, but the priest did. And that was meaning they had authority, spiritual authority, but Jesus came to abolish that, and she knew that he had authority. Let me read you Malachi 4:2. It says, "But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves." We'll get to that here. The word for wings right there in Malachi 4:2, the healing in his wings is the Hebrew word Kanaf, and that same word is used for wings, hem, tassels, or fringe. So it's the same exact word as he has healings in his wings, he has healing in his hem and his tassels and his fringe. Okay, so she probably knew that word, and that probably helped her grow strong in that belief that she had, that all she had to do is touch his hem. See, the woman was unclean according to the law with the blood issue. She technically shouldn't have been in the presence of men at all. She could have been stoned, yet she was drawn to Jesus. Like, she could have been killed for what she did according to their Jewish law, but the faith was stronger than all of that, that she did it anyway. And if you notice back in, not only she do this, and everyone's like, oh, I don't know what happened to that lady right there. It says that, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. So she admitted in front of everybody that she was unclean at that time. But by the time she made this confession, she was made clean again. Right? So she said, I risked it all to do this, and I came through everybody, and I was unclean. So not only did she admit, like, Lord, I knew I could get healing from you, she noted, she is also saying, I broke the law to get her. She told him the whole truth. And that's what I put at stake to receive this healing from you. Okay, where was I? The word healed in verse 34 is sozo. We've talked about sozo before. And it's a different word than in verse 29. Sozo is complete restoration. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And in the Amplified Version in Mark 5:34, he says, then he said to her, daughter, your faith, your personal trust and confidence in me has restored you to health. Go in peace and be permanently healed from your suffering. She was physically healed when she touched his hem, but Jesus offered her more. Continue in the direction of peace. Go with it and agree with it. Jesus is saying, going in the direction of a relationship with me, and you'll keep that healing you've received. To walk in divine health and withstand the attacks of the enemy, you have to be in relationship with Jesus. And in Mark 6:56, it says, wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplace and begged him that they might just touch the hem or the kanaf of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. So in that verse, we see that other people touching Jesus' hem to be healed. This woman started a movement. Others reached out in faith and grabbed onto it in Jesus' authority. Hey, did you guys hear about the woman who went out? Hey, I need healing. I'm going to go touch his, garment too. She started a trend there. Okay, that was healing through relationship. Now we're going to read about healing through authority. Turn over to Mark 9:18. Well, it's actually 9, we'll start in 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. You know, you guys ever see the videos of like when Michael Jackson would walk down the street? And all the, I imagine that's what it's like when Jesus was walking down the street. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. So he's having seizures. The kid's having seizures. He answered and said, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to Jesus. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So as the kids brought to Jesus, the spirit seized Jesus and starts convulsing right then and there. Okay. So he asks his father, like, okay, I just want to set the picture here. They bring the kid. Kid starts seizing right there. And if you've ever been around someone having a seizure, it's scary. It's, shoot, Chase had a seizure yesterday, and we all get up and we all, tend to him, and we're fearful, like, is this the one that's going to take him out, kind of thing. And you know what I mean? It's a scary situation. It's even scarier with people when it's very violent, and you got to keep them from swallowing their tongue, and right, it's a scary situation when somebody's having a pretty big seizure. So, but okay, here's the picture that's happening. So this is going on right here, and Jesus turns to the father, like, how long has this been happening? Jesus wasn't scared. Jesus wasn't like, oh my gosh, it was, he just, this is happening. How long has this been happening? So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So how do you think the father's react speaking to Jesus? How do you think his part of the conversation was going with Jesus? It wasn't calm and collected. He's like, I'm fearful for him right now. And I'm talking to you, Jesus. Like, do something. And Jesus is like, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Jesus is cool, calm, collective. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. So, yes, I believe you can do it, but whatever, why it's not happening, help me with that. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, so everyone, here we are, everyone's running together. It wasn't like they were alone. There's people all around, but now we have a situation here. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind cannot come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. So that's the story. What do you think when, before Jesus was there and the disciples saw the kid start to have a seizure, what do you think was going through their mind? Do you think they were cool, calm, and collective like Jesus was? No, they were probably fearful too, which works against faith. So let's talk about that. Mark 9:18, so I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. The disciples had authority to cast out demons and heal the sick. They were well equipped to handle this. The father had faith, or he wouldn't be there. Okay? We all have a measure of faith in us, given to us by Jesus. Luke 9:1 says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. So that had happened. They had gotten authority to do this, but they couldn't. So now it's like, why was this one different? A seizure is a frightening thing to see. All your senses engage in that physical scene. Faith doesn't operate in the realm of the five senses. Our senses are always in contention with our faith. It's us being carnal, being led by what we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we smell, what we taste. We are moved at heart level by what we see with our eyes. In verse 23 and 24, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. The father is believing with everything he can, but he's dealing with some unbelief in the natural. This is a great meeting point. Okay. So, what is the father seeing with his eyes? The one he loves going through torment and hell in this situation of seizures that keeps attacking him. It's he's not gonna be he's being influenced by his carnal, his fear and all these other things, right? The word believe is to be fully persuaded, committed to trust. So Jesus says, if you can trust me with this, all things are possible. So how do we battle unbelief? Jesus' authority was untainted by unbelief, but even the disciples struggled with unbelief, not from a lack of authority or faith, but they struggled with unbelief. Why? Because they were letting their five senses get in the way. What did we see Jesus doing? This guy's convulsing, and I'm having a conversation over here. I'm not tripping on this. No, he knows what the Lord can do. He's not going to let that affect his heart because he knows that I'm going to handle this. And we should have that as well, right? None of us are there, but Jesus showed us how. We'll get there. Unbelief comes because we're more connected with our natural five senses than we are with operating in a spiritual realm. That's truth right there. In verse 28 and 29, and when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind cannot come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. This kind is not referring to the kind of demon. The word of God is more powerful than any kind of demon. The disciples lacked no power or authority. Okay, so we know that we're not talking about any kind of demon here. So what is this kind? It doesn't take any more power to heal cancer versus a cold. Listen to this, all right? Same amount of power, cure a cold or a cancer. But the cancer just has more fear and potential for unbelief attached, right? We're not afraid of a cold. We've had plenty of colds in our lifetime. We get over them. I'm going to be okay. But cancer, that one comes with fear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The answer is still the same. Jesus. Okay? Doesn't take any more or any less of Jesus for a different situation. We hear Andrew say, this is a piece of cake for Jesus.
Yeah.
Fasting subdues your flesh, your five senses, and you can help battle unbelief. So when you're fasting, is what you're doing is, Lord, I'm shutting down anything my body is trying to tell me, and I'm only focusing on the spiritual part, spending time with you there. I'm not going to let my five senses get in the way of that. And it's not a hunger strike. It's just saying, I'm taking back control of this body. You know, hunger is like the crying baby in the aisle of the grocery store. I'm hungry. I want it now. You know, and we're usually like, okay, we'll get you some right now. You know, we're that parent to our body who screams at us, you know, and what we're doing when we're fasting is like, no, I have control here. And right now, this time is for God. So people's unbelief hindered Jesus from performing miracles. He had to take a blind man out of town to heal him because there was so much unbelief. And that's in Mark 8. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. He had to lead him out of town because there was so much unbelief. I think me and Michael were texting about this the other day. We were kind of having a laugh about it. And in Jesus' hometown, his own hometown, there was so much unbelief that we're like, we got to get out of town. We got to do this away from people.
Well, because they knew him.
They knew him growing up. You know, I texted Micah, like, yeah, I remember that guy. He farted in class or something. You know, like, you're going to remember the embarrassing thing. He wasn't even a good ball player or nothing. Look at him thinking he's all that. You know what I mean? That if you know the guy's history, the prophet's not even welcome in his own town or whatever that verse says. But it's like they knew him growing up. And that's why there was so much unbelief there. They couldn't. James, his brother James, it took him a while to come around too.
Yeah.
All right. Me and Micah had those conversations. But the answer to overcoming unbelief is being full of the Word of God, knowing who He is on the inside of us. Renewing your mind helps you move past the unbelief. Renewing your mind helps you move past the unbelief. You do not have a faith problem. Sometimes you have an unbelief challenge. Okay, there's things that will come against you to cause unbelief, and it's usually coming through your five senses. So if you know that's the way that works against your faith, now that you know this, try to resist it. Okay. All right, last page. Healing through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. The plural gifts of healings is sometimes associated with specific ailments. Gifts are for the body of Christ, not for the dispenser. So, right, we all know that. My gifts are not for myself. They're for all of you. And your gifts are not for you. They're for me and everybody else, right? We've had that talk plenty of times. So, gifts are for the body of Christ, not for the dispenser. To see healing in our own body, we need to use the authority we have as born-again believers. And we could always go back to module one, the very first thing in the basics that we studied in lesson eight. There was stuff about spiritual gifts. So we could always reference that later if we want to look into that some more. Okay, and then there's healing through Holy Communion. Remember last time we took the Lord's Supper, we discussed this. There's healing in it. 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 30. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Sleep means die prematurely. Communion is a remembrance of everything Jesus did for us. It's bringing Jesus back to our forethoughts. All right, Jesus, let me put the focus back on you. There's the dig for me. There's healing in the body of Jesus that cleanses us from all sickness, just as there is healing in the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. Unworthy manner, that part that we spoke about there, is taking communion without remembering all that Jesus did in his body and blood. If you're not, you know, they used to build altars. This is where it happened, where God came down and I wrestled with an angel. Jacob built an altar there on that spot. This part right here is holy. And so every time we come around here, we're going to remember that God came here and did this at this very place. And that's what we're doing when we take communion. Right here, right now, I'm remembering that what Jesus did for me. Some people are sick and dying because they don't remember or were never taught everything Jesus paid for us. Communion is a great point of contact. When you take the cup, remember that you've been fully forgiven because of his blood. When you eat the bread, remember that you've been made whole because of his broken body. Communion engages our five senses. While taking communion, you're saying, "Body, this is the word of the Lord coming into you. I'm ingesting the power of God and the word of God on the inside of me. I receive all of his healing power and forgiveness in my body." So the point of contact, the woman touching the hem, that's the point of contact. Us ingesting the communion, that is a point of contact. And remembering what he did for us, right? That's the part where my faith comes alive right there. So that is today's lesson. Let's discuss. What do you guys think?
I had something written down from before. It was what you talked about just a minute ago, but it's the more we start to see the Father inside of us, the more we believe. So, and I was thinking of you last week. Andy experienced something that he was like, whoa. I mean, I was just hearing it secondhand, but the more something happens, that trip that I took, was a lot. And I did it. The more I see, but and I didn't fall apart, I mean, sometimes, but not all the time. Anyway, but when I think back and I think, wow, all these things we went through and we succeeded, we did it. The more you go through things through faith or have an experience like Dan Andy did that says, wow, the Lord did this for me, the more we get rid of unbelief, then we have belief. We're kind of stoking that fire.
Yeah. And that's the word of our testimony.
Yeah. That's what we can carry. Like I think you said that earlier, it's the word. We feel powerless, but any word that we share with somebody else, like exactly that, our testimony, has the power for them to believe. It'd be like a wildfire. I mean, but we just don't get that. We don't walk in it. So. Sometimes.
Yeah.
One thing that I never paid attention to, and it's really eye-opening, is the power never changes. And not paying attention to the fact that the senses are the only things that are changing. It's not power. It's always the same. So that was pretty eye-opening.
Think about this house. There's power running through this house 24/7 all day long. It just depends if we flip the switch or not, if we plug in the appliance. The power's there. And there's things that shut the switch off. We're the variables, he's the constant. All right.
I got something.
Yeah, cool.
I lost some pretty big accounts in the last 2 weeks, and Kelly told me to not worry about it. And this guy called last Saturday with 9 churches that needed to be taken care of
Whoa.
around the whole.
God called you
Yeah,
with 9 churches.
pretty great. They're huge too,
Yeah.
massive.
Cool.
So it's gonna really help out.
You're gonna live. You're
So.
gonna eat.
Yeah.
So the next time something comes against you, you're like, last time I had peace and I
Yeah.
just trusted God
Yeah.
and he delivered. So I'm gonna keep believing for that,
That's
But
pretty cool.
I'm sure that it hurt when you lost the
Yeah.
two accounts or whatever,
Yeah.
but if you learn how to do things and trust and faith in him, he's a good God.
Yeah.
And that's abundance.
Yeah.
Same with Andy. I mean, that's abundance, and that's just a little bit.
I don't think you're going to need to hire Nate and Josh to help.
Yeah, right.
That's bossy.
Yeah, praise God for that.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
So, and then since we just discussed communion, we should do it again soon because it is part of healing, and we're all still getting after it with healing. So let's remember the Lord. We'll do it soon. We'll do it soon after I come back, and we'll have a time. Also, I'd like a time where we could just plan a Sunday where we all have lunch together again. It's probably been more than a month now, so.
Father, we thank you so much for this teaching that you're giving us. Open our hearts and our minds to what you have in healing. And I thank you for continuing to put this on Dan's heart to continue to teach us this. I lift up everyone in this room. I thank you for the blessings. Thank you for everyone on Zoom. I lift up my son Xavier. He's sick right now. I pray for his healing, Father. Again, I ask for you to bless the rest of this day. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.